أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page. And inshallah ta'ala, today we are on page 78 of the Quran, which is the second page of Surah An-Nisa in the fourth juz. In the previous episode, we began with the tafsir of the fourth chapter of the Quran, and that is Surah An-Nisa. And we said that Surah An-Nisa is a surah that deals with interactions and dealings and the rights of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when it comes to issues in which people often fall short of fulfilling the rights of others, there is often oppression and injustice within it, such as issues of marriage and divorce and inheritance, and looking after the affairs of the weak and those people who can't manage their own affairs, such as the orphans and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us a number of instructions in terms of how we should deal with these affairs. And so, for example, in the previous episode, we mentioned the issue of orphans. And how Allah Azza wa Jalla tells people to look after their affairs and be responsible towards them. And how a person who is their male guardian shouldn't devour their wealth or combine their wealth with their own, or look to take their wealth and devour it in a way that is unjust. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to look after the rights of the females that are under our care, the women folk who are under our care, especially if we are their male guardians, when it comes to issues of marriage and dowry and so on. They have rights that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to them in this religion and in this sharia. So therefore, it's not the right of the father or the brother or the uncle or the grandfather or the one who's in charge to come and to oppress and to withhold or to change the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their own benefits and for their own greed. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to us a number of instructions when it comes to looking after the affairs of those people that are under our charge and under our care. We begin today's episode with verse number 7, and we go now into another issue in which there is often a great deal of misunderstanding, a great deal of misconceptions surrounding, and a great deal of oppression and injustice that occurs within it, and that is because it speaks to the issue of inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم للرجال نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون وللنساء نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون وللنساء نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون مما قل منه أو كثر نصيبا مفروضا. Men shall have a share in what their parents and closest relatives leave, and women shall have a share in what their parents and closest relatives leave, whether the legacy be small or large. This is ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal in this verse speaks about the issues, or now we start to speak about the topic of inheritance. And this surah is a surah that deals and will deal with the majority of the rulings of inheritance that we find in the Quran. They are found in Surah An-Nisa, in this particular surah, and in the verses that we will begin with today. The Arabs, as we said in the previous episode, they had this thing that the man of the dominant male in the family should be the one who should have the lion's share, if not all, of the inheritance that is left behind. So for example, if the husband passes away, he leaves behind his wife, he leaves behind young children. The brother of the husband, who's now deceased, so he's the uncle to those children, he would come and he would take that wealth from them forcibly. Why? Because he would consider himself to be a soldier, like when there's fighting, because the tribal system, there's often civil strife and warfare, and there's fighting between tribes and so on. He would say, I'm the one who fights, I'm the one who leads the armies, I'm the one who provides, I'm the one who's the tribal leader, so I need this wealth for me. You women, children, don't need that wealth. What are you going to do with the money anyway? And so he would devour it for himself. This was very common. And so you often find within Arabian Jahiliya times, that the men would take their wealth, the women, the orphans, the young children, those people who can't fend for themselves, they would have very little recourse to take that back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse very clearly, men have a right to inheritance and women also have a right to inheritance. What are those rights? Those are some of the issues that Allah azza wa jal will explain to us within this surah. But the point being here is that both of them have those rights. So when a person passes away, that wealth that they leave, which is their estate that people will inherit from, that estate, it goes to their closest family members. And those closest family members can be male and they can be female. So your mother has a right just as your father has a right. The husband has a right to a share of his wealth, the wealth of his wife that's passed away. And the wife has a right to the share or to a share or her share of the wealth that her husband leaves when he passes away. The son has a right to the wealth, but so does the daughter. The brother has a right to the wealth, but so does the sister. And so just as all of those male relatives have rights to inheritance, then their female equivalents also have rights to their inheritance. مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرُ Whatever that legacy may be. So it's not the case that the women only get a share if there's a great deal of wealth. So that person was very rich and wealthy and he left loads behind. So there's no problem, everyone can have a share because everyone gets a good deal. But if the inheritance that was left behind the estate is very small, not really worth much, not much value to it, then now if we start to distribute it, no one really gets anything, so therefore the men just take everything and forget the women. No, that is also something which is prohibited and oppressive. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرُ Whether the legacy that is left behind is big or whether it is something which is small. This is something which Allah Azza wa Jalla has legislated. In verse number 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا If other relatives, orphans or needy people are present at the time of distribution, then give them something too and speak kindly to them. This is from the good etiquettes that a person should have when it comes to distributing the wealth. Now in the olden days, people would normally know that someone has passed away and when that wealth was going to be distributed. So when the inheritance is going to be distributed. And what would then happen is that that place where, you know, what we would call today, maybe where the will is being read and where people are being told their shares and what it is that they're going to receive of the estate, sometimes you would have non-heirs also attending that are from family members. Maybe they're poor and they're needy. And sometimes other poor people who are not connected to the family, but there are people who know that there's some wealth that's going to be distributed, they also turn up. It is from good etiquette and from good practice that those people give to them some sadaqah. They don't have to give to them a great deal. Depending upon what they have and what they can do, they should give to them something which from that inheritance. And that is from good etiquettes. And it is also to help those people if they are poor and needy. And it is also to maintain the ties of kinship and relationship in the case of, for example, those people being family members or being non-inheriting relatives. And that is something which the companions used to do. They would give some of that wealth away and they would help those people that are in need and that are poor. And at the very least, what you should do, even if you cannot give to them, is to speak to them in a good way, in an honorable way, in a way that is befitting and that is worthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 9, وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and let those who would fear for the future of their own helpless children if they were to die, show the same concern for orphans. Let them be mindful of God and speak out for justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that every parent, it is their natural inclination. It is part of human nature that one of the things that a person worries about when they leave this world ultimately is the well-being of their children and the future of their children. And that is why most parents during their lifetime do their utmost to the best of their ability, each person according to their own ability, to leave behind something for their children, to help their children on their way, to give their children a level of stability and comfort that will allow them to, inshallah, live life in a way that is honorable and that is good. That is a parental instinct that every mother and father has, especially if those children are young. So there's a difference between someone who, mashallah, their children are now adults, they're married, they have their own families, they're independent, they have their jobs and their careers and their businesses. And so therefore that concern isn't as much as if, for example, your children are still very young. So a child that's 2, 3, 5, 7, 9, these ages where that child is still very young and their path in life has yet to be established, and we don't really know what the future will hold for them, and so on and so forth. It is a parental instinct. It is human nature that you would want for them to be provided for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just as you fear for those children, then likewise you should also show the same concern when it comes to those orphans, those people who have no one to look after their affairs, especially if those people are from the people that you are charged with looking after, and those people that you should be mindful of. Allah Azza wa Jal says, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to those people and speak out for justice, meaning don't let those people be oppressed. They have no one to look after them now, these orphans, because their parents have passed away or the father's passed away, and now the family is deciding what to do with his wealth. And everyone saying, that's my share, and that's my share, and that's my share. And no one is looking towards the orphan, and the orphan is a young child, doesn't have the ability to speak out, doesn't have the ability to demand, doesn't have the ability to take. And so therefore they will often be the ones that people will ignore and will overlook. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, imagine that's your child. Imagine it's your situation. How would you feel if that was your child and you were the one that passed away and this is what your family was doing towards them? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to be mindful of the rights of the orphan when it comes to things like inheritance. In verse number 10, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. Those who consume the property of orphans unjustly are actually swallowing fire into their own bellies. They will burn in the blazing fire. And this is therefore from the major sins of Islam and from the things that Allah Azza wa Jal warns us against with this threat of punishment. Those who devour and consume the property of orphans unjustly. We've already mentioned what is the just way, and that is that if you're looking after the orphan, don't combine their wealth with yours, and from their wealth, if they have sufficient amount, spend upon them in terms of their upkeep, in terms of their well-being. And also, if you are yourself poor, then you can take a small amount for your own affairs as well. That is the just way. Unjustly is to devour, consume that wealth. Unjustly is to waste that wealth. Unjustly is to mix your wealth with theirs so that you don't know which one, how much is yours and how much is theirs. Those people who devour it unjustly are only swallowing the fire into their own bellies. They only devour the fire. What they're eating and what they're consuming of that wealth, it's not money that they're consuming, but in reality it is the fire of hell that Allah Azza wa Jal will burn them with on Yawm al-Qiyamah because of the evil that they have done. And that is because these people need more than anything other people to come and look after them, be good to them, show love and compassion and kindness and gentleness to them, to take someone who's already at a disadvantage and to take more advantage of them. That is something which isn't even just from good character, it's not from good integrity, it's not from a, you know, irrespective of the issue of Islam and non-Muslim, just from a human standpoint, it would be something that would be unworthy and something which would be considered to be very evil. Then when you add the element that the Muslim should be someone who is mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes even more severe as a sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 11 now goes on to the issues of inheritance themselves in terms of the shares that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to certain members of the family. And this verse, which is the final verse on this page, and the next verse, which we will take inshallah in the next episode, so verses 11 and 12, are two of the main verses in the Quran that speak about inheritance. In fact, the majority of the fiqh shares in terms of inheritance will be found within this particular surah, as we mentioned before. And these two verses, 11 and 12, deal with the majority of these issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 11, يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ فَإِنْ كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَا مَا تَرَكْ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً فَلَهَا النِّصْفُ وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا السُّدُسُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلَدٌ وَوَرِثَهُ أَبَوَاهُ فَلِأُمِّهِ الثُّلُثُ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِخْوَةٌ فَلِأُمِّهِ السُّدُسُ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِي بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ آباؤكم وأبناؤكم لا تدرون أيهم أقرب لكم نفعا فريضة من الله إن الله كان عليما حكيما. Concerning your children, Allah says concerning your children, Allah commands you that a son should have the equivalent share of two daughters. If there are only daughters, two or more should share 2/3 of the inheritance. And if there is only one, she should have half. Parents inherit a sixth each. If the deceased leaves children, if he leaves no children and his parents are the sole heirs, his mother has a third, unless he has brothers, in which case she has a sixth. In all cases, the distribution comes after payment of any bequests or debts. You cannot know which of your parents or your children is more beneficial to you. This is a law from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and indeed Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we can see here, Allah Azza wa Jalla begins by mentioning to us the details of the issues of inheritance. One of the misunderstandings that many people have, because in non-Muslim law, it is the norm that a person can decide who they want their wealth to go to. They can decide which member of the family it goes to or it doesn't go to, or they can decide not to give it to any family member and to simply give it to something or someone else. In Islam, it is different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has stipulated who gets what and how much they receive in most cases. So therefore, the difference between the two is that we don't have a choice. So I can't come and say, no, actually, I want to cut off so-and-so and give more to so-and-so, and this person I didn't really get on with, so I will give them less, and that one we were tight, so we will give them more. No. Allah Azza wa Jal determined this himself. And so therefore, this is a common misconception, where people think that they can just write out their own wills in terms of what it is that they want. And we will speak about more detail in terms of what it is that you can give in terms of bequeathing something or giving something in charity, as opposed to what are the laws of inheritance that are fixed. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about the fixed laws of inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah advises you concerning your children. And that is because the children that we have, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them to us as an amana, as a trust. And so therefore it is part of that trust to give them a good tarbiyah, give them a good upbringing, teach them about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and look after their affairs. And if we fulfill that trust, and we uphold that trust that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed upon us, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a great reward. And if we waste that trust, we don't fulfill that trust, we abuse that trust, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us to account for it. So when it comes to inheritance, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. If the deceased dies and there are only children left, sons and daughters, then the son receives double the share of a daughter. Generally speaking in Islam, people have fixed shares. And generally speaking, the fixed shares are given to women, and then whatever is left after those fixed shares have been received, they are given to men. However, in certain cases, if people are related to the deceased in the same way and they are of the same level, but there are male and females there, so like sons and daughters or brothers and sisters, then rather than the daughters or the females taking more than the male is given a bigger share than the females. And that is because, as we know, in most cases and in many cases, the male has certain additional responsibilities in the Islamic law in terms of the well-being and providing of the family and so on and so forth. He is the mahram also of his sisters and so on. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to them a bigger share. That is not always the case. Not every male will receive more than the female. Nor is it the case that every time the male will inherit. Sometimes the male receives nothing because there is nothing left after the females have taken their fixed shares. And all of this is something which Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed because of his hikmah and because of his wisdom and knowledge subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, in the case that there are only two children, or there are only children left, and there are sons and daughters, or there are sons and daughters available in the equation, whoever else is living or not living at that time, the sons will always receive the double share concerning the daughter. They will have the equivalent of the share of two daughters. If there are only daughters, however, there are only daughters, and remember each one of these issues, if there are males there that are related to the close, to the deceased, then those shares may change and things may change. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about in general terms, giving the fixed shares of, for example, these people or these close family relatives. The people that are closest to you, or the people that are closest to the deceased person when they pass away, are their parents, their spouse, and their children. And in most cases, or in pretty much every case, those three groups of people will always inherit. Your parents, your spouse, your children. because they are the closest people to you. Then there are other people that are eligible to inherit as well, but their inheritance is determined by who from amongst these first three categories is living or not. So for example, your grandparents may inherit from you, but if your parents are living, your parents have more right than your grandparents. Your grandchildren from your sons, because it always goes through the male line, they may inherit from you. But if your son is living and your daughters are living, they have more right to it than your grandchildren, and so on and so forth. Your uncle, your paternal uncle from your father's side, has a right to inheritance. But if there are people who are closer than the uncle, such as siblings, they have more right to it than the uncle. So just because someone can inherit doesn't mean that they will. And so essentially what you would do at this case or in this particular circumstance is you would go to your local imam or a scholar that is qualified and you would say, so-and-so passed away. This is what they left behind. These are the family members that are still living. Who inherits and what do they inherit? Allah Azza wa Jalla says that in the case that there are only daughters, if there are two or more, then they take two-thirds of the inheritance. And if there is only one, she receives a half. Parents inherit a sixth if the deceased leaves children. And if he leaves no children and his parents are his sole heirs, then his mother has a third, unless there are brothers in the equation, in which case she has a sixth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined for each and every single person their fixed shares. And these are usually people that are the relatives from the female line. From the female line, these are the people that are usually the relatives. So for example, the mother, the wife, the sisters, the daughters, the granddaughters from the son and so on, the grandmothers, all of these people have fixed shares. And then there are certain males that can also have fixed shares, like for example the husband, like for example the maternal brothers, and like for example the father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in all of these cases, all of this that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in terms of the laws of inheritance, it is done after any bequests or debts. When a person passes away, what they leave behind of their wealth, that is called estate. So because Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they get two-thirds of what has been left behind, that is called estate. So the inheritance can be cash, it can be land, it can be property, all of this, everything that is of value is gathered together and that becomes the estate. That estate then, before we distribute it to people, there are a few things that we need to do. Number one is that we need to pay for the funeral expenses. So if that person didn't have, for example, a cooperative committee that they were part of that they can you can take the funeral expenses from, it would come from their estate, number one, because we have to pay for their funeral expenses, their washing, their shrouding, their burial costs, the funeral director's costs, all of those have to be met, number one. Number two is any debts that are upon them. So that person owed money. The person that they owed money to has more right to that wealth than the heirs. And so all of those debts have to be fulfilled. And from those debts, in the position and the opinion of many of the scholars, is something like Hajj, which is a debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person didn't perform Hajj, you take it from their estate. If no one from their family members is willing to give sadaqah and to do that on their own behalf. So someone, one of the children may say, no, I'll pay for my father's Hajj. I will go and make Hajj on his behalf. I don't need it from the estate. But if no one is willing to or cannot, then it is taken from that. Number three is a bequeathal, a bequest. What is a bequest? The Muslim has the right to up to a third of their wealth to give away to someone who is a non-heir. Who is a non-heir. So two conditions. Number one is that person can't usually inherit from you. Number two, it can't be more than a third of your estate. And unless that is that all of the heirs agree. If all of the heirs agree and they say our parents wanted to give half away or our father and mother wanted to give half away, we all agree, we're happy, that's fine. But otherwise, these are the two conditions. The second condition, that it should be a third. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he said to him, a third and a third is enough, or a third is too much. And that's why a number of the companions, such as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and others from amongst the scholars said that a third, the Prophet ﷺ said, is the maximum, the absolute maximum. So therefore, to give less than a third is better. Because it's as if the Prophet was saying, even a third is too much. So to give a quarter, fifth, sixth, that is something which is good if a person wants to give it to charity. And that is only in the case where that person has the ability to do so. A number of the scholars were of the position that if a person didn't leave much behind, then it is better for them to give all of it in inheritance, as opposed to they take away a third or a quarter and they don't have a great deal of money to start off with in the first place. That is the third thing that is done. So therefore, number one, funeral expenses. Number two, debts. Number three, the bequest. And that is what is written down. These are the things that are written down because they are unknowns. They are up to a person. No one knows how much debts you have. No one knows what you want to give away in charity and to whom. And so those things have to be stipulated. And then once all of that is done, the remainder is given to your heirs. And it is done in the way that we have mentioned with these fixed shares. Why does Allah Azza wa Jal give us fixed shares? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave it to me and you? Allah Azza wa Jal says, because had he done so, there would have been much corruption. Why? Because we don't really know, we can't really determine. Each person would have their own way of understanding who has more right. آباؤكم وابناؤكم لا تدرون أيهم أقرب لكم نفعا. You cannot know which of your parents or your children is more beneficial to you. Should you give your parents more? Should you give your children more? And then it would lead to problems because each person would have that ability and that discretion to choose, as we see often in many cases. And so someone would come and say, I served you my whole life. I look after you my whole life. And you gave someone else more. This way, Allah established it. And so there is a great deal of mercy in this, because I don't have a choice and you as the recipient don't have a choice. We both have to accept Allah's commands and Allah's laws. So therefore, there's no point being me being upset with you or you being upset with me. It is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determined. And that is from the beauty of Allah Azza wa Jalla's religion, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it something which is obligatory in this way. And he went into detail on this issue because therefore people wouldn't be able to question these laws and these issues, or they wouldn't have that ability to make their own judgments and therefore cause problems within their families and amongst their close relatives. Part 2 of this issue of inheritance will continue inshallah ta'ala in the next episode, because these verses continue with regards to other shares that are given to other family members. But we will leave that inshallah ta'ala until the next episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.